WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
In the 1930s, the Disney Studios had only one serious animation competitor, the Fleischer Brothers Studio in New York. The Fleischers had already established a hit character with Betty Boop when they licensed a superstar from newspaper comics. Back in 1929, E.C. Segar had introduced a bit player into his Thimble theater strip, Popeye the Sailor. Popeye quickly came to dominate the newspaper comic, and through Fleischer cartoons became a pop culture icon. Music critic Milo Miles, who's a big animation fan, says the Fleischer Popeyes have finally been given their due on a new first-rate DVD set.
There have been many, many Popeyes since he first appeared in E.C. Segar's Thimble Theater. I met Popeye, Olive Oil, Bluto and Company through television reruns of the Fleischer Brothers' 1930s cartoons. I didn't read Segar's newspaper comics until I was an adult. They're absolutely wonderful, but very different. The Popeye closest to my heart is the Fleischer animated one. During a documentary about Segar's strip in the new DVD set, TV screenwriter Dan O'Shannon underscores what a long shot Popeye was.
Segar apparently created the character as this kind of one-off little side character in this one adventure, and then it just sort of hit with readers, and he moved center stage and essentially took over the comic strip. And I think that's how Popeye would have to become popular, as an accident. Because who in a room is going to sit down and go, I've got it. He's a sailor. He's about 40. Can't speak English very well, missing an eye, no teeth. People are going to go, yes, people are going to love that. No, that's one of those things you have to find out by accident, because no one could predict that kind of success for this character.
It's routine these days to note that Fleischer Studios used urban settings, vaudeville humor, and characters and objects that underwent surreal shape shifts. Also, that Popeye starred in the Depression era, if not as an everyman, as a working man, an ordinary guy with exceptional pluck and extraordinary spinach. I would argue that Popeye works as a figure from many folk tales, the trickster, the sly transformer who appears in many shapes to outwit his opponents. After all, Popeye is not just a sailor swab, but a sculptor, an engineer, a pilot, a professional dancer, and often a kind of Indiana Jones adventurer. But he was never an operator, a slick dude. No matter what his guise, this trickster sticks up for the little guy.
I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. Now just cause you're taller, don't hit someone smaller, says Popeye the Sailor Man.
Popeye the Sailor Volume 1 includes hours of additional features. Animation historians Jerry Beck and Michael Barrier, as well as director Greg Ford, provide the best commentaries. Film supplements include many pre-1930s cartoons associated with the Fleischers that are only of historical interest. But documentaries about Segar's Thimble Theater and the earliest years of animation are superb. All the major characters get little bios, with Olive Oil faring best as the world's least likely sex symbol. But hey, she just starred in a commercial for Prego tomato sauce, so you gotta admit, she's aged well. A constant theme throughout the commentaries is how much the Fleischer's work focused on music and action rather than words and realism. Almost all the Popeye shorts are rough-and-tumble musicals with heaps of mindless violence thrown in. Perfect! Oddly enough, one of the most adroit musical passages belongs to Bluto as Sinbad the Sailor.
Who the most phenomenal, extra special kind of fellow? Sinbad the Sailor. I'm afraid of nobody under the sun. All I say is boo and my enemies run. Who's the most remarkable, extraordinary fellow?
It's Popeye the Sailor Man. Popeye the Sailor Man. I'm strong to the finish, cause I eat space spinach. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man.
Seymour Neidl probably animated more Popeye shorts than anyone else, and his best are certainly time capsule worthy. However, I would like to offer a personal salute to the leader of another animation unit, Willard Bowsky, whose Popeye cartoons are more visually clever, technically adroit, and outrageously funny than any others. As an adult animation fan, I took comfort that most of the classic cartoon animators were around to see their work revived and celebrated through television. But the first time I saw Willard Bowsky drawing, he was long gone. He had joined the Army in 1942 and was killed in action during the Battle of the Bulge. Of all the hands that helped create Popeye, I suspect he would be proudest of Bowsky.
I saw my duty and done it, 'cause I'm Popeye the Sailor Man.
On a consumer note, it's unfortunate that Popeye Volume 1 ends in 1938. It includes almost all the cartoons you need. There were a dozen or so snappy, hilarious shorts made after that date, equal to any earlier ones. But when the Fleischer brothers lost their studio to Paramount at the end of 1941, a notable decline in quality began to overtake the previously invincible Sailor. Few even entertaining Popeye cartoons were made after World War II. In the end, magical spinach was no match for the effects of time and change.
Milo Miles lives in Boston. The new four-disc DVD set, Popeye the Sailor, 1933 to 1938, is on Warner Home Video. If you'd like to catch up on interviews you've missed, you can download podcasts of our show by going to our website, freshair.npr.org.